20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration between the Paul Farrington Show and the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Paul joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler up at Harvard University and Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day Podcast to react to week 14 of the NFC North. The Packers, just a monster win for you guys, Andy. Congratulations. Wish I could say I was happy. Well, I'm happy for you. For the Packers, it's kind of, you know, same old. Success abounding for them. Chicago, so close. It feels like they had a real opportunity there to kind of break away and start actually thinking about the one seed a little seriously. And then the Vikings, 31-0. Who knows? You know, you just don't know what comes with the Minnesota Vikings at this point in time. Nice to see JJ bounce back. We'll get into all of it here. I do just want to say, first off, Andy, do you respect the Chicago Bears a little bit more after this week?
I respected them before the game. So the to me, nothing really changed. In fact, it kind of reconfirmed what I thought, is that they're going to be a good team. They're well coached. They're going to be a pain to play. I still think Caleb Williams, to some extent, is holding them back and just being, he's not quite there from a traditional pocket passing quarterback quite yet. That's okay. He's in year two. It's year one in Ben Johnson. He's going to get better. But I think right now he's not quite there yet. And then defensively, they just don't have pass rush. Those were the two things. They had to blitz Jordan Love a lot in that game. And when they blitzed Jordan Love, he completely tore him apart. So yeah. Everything else was as advertised and was as expected. They fought even when they were down, you know, two scores and came back and tied that game. And even when they were driving down at the end of that game, and Ben Johnson's basically confirmed this, you knew they were going to go for two if they scored a touchdown. And I wanted nothing, especially with, you know, the creativity of Ben Johnson. You know, he had something up his sleeve in that 2-point conversion. So I was very much hoping it did not get to a game on the line, win or lose, 2-point conversion. And that's what it would have been if they got in the end zone there. Thankfully, Keyshawn Nixon stopped it. But no, that they kind of confirmed exactly where I thought they were. They're a good team. You're not going to want to play them. And I think there's still a lot of room for growth for them as well.
Yes, Caleb rolled out on that 4th-and-1. You know, the camera, you couldn't see in the end zone as he started his throwing motion. And I think, at least me, I was like, oh, he's got to have someone wide open. Like, it just felt like one of those plays where, you know, someone leaked out a tight end. And I have to imagine that you and the rest of Packer Nation watching that on TV breathed a pretty big sigh of relief when you saw Nixon back there.
I don't know if you guys know the story on this or if you've been following it, but Nixon was in man coverage on DJ Moore. DJ Moore comes across the formation through the play, and Nixon is on DJ Moore, and Evan Williams is supposed to have Cole Kmet deep in the end zone, and Evan sold out for the run to try to stop it on 4th-and-1, and Evan comes up and Komet's wide open in the end zone, and Nixon, who's watching the whole play unfold as he's kind of crossing the field with DJ Moore, completely abandons DJ Moore and beelines
to
cover Kmet in the end zone, and in doing so, was there to obviously intercept the pass, but he went completely off script. If he just would have stuck with the man that he was on in DJ Moore, it's a wide open touchdown. Nobody's covering him.
So it would have been I thought. Wow. Correct. That's crazy.
I mean, you saw the Ben Johnson play design that game. He's so good at getting those tight ends to just slip out unnoticed. You saw it on the first touchdown for the Chicago Bears, making that play on Cole Kmet there after failing to make it on Colson Loveland. Obviously really important.
Yeah, big time. I have a couple of questions for you guys. Well, at least one for sure. I may have forgot the second one already because I'm already fired up about all things Packers. So the first one I want to ask is it for you guys? I would think that it's almost better in a way. This is maybe sounds weird that the Packers won that game. If we sort of already know the Packers are good to some extent. Like the Packers are, you know, kind of doing their thing. If the Bears win that game, now it feels like, oh man, there's two of them plus Detroit, even though they're not playing quite as well, like they're still good. Like it just feels like the Bears losing this might almost be a little bit better because now, I don't know, maybe there's still some sort of hope that maybe the Bears aren't quite as good as you would expect them to be. I don't know. It's just an interesting sort of thought experiment of what would actually be better for Minnesota. Because if Chicago wins, now their timeline feels accelerated. And now it just feels like for sure there's three better teams in the division. Now at least there's maybe some question of where Chicago's at, even if they did play an overall pretty good game.
I'm not sure how much differently I really feel about Chicago than if they had scored a touchdown there at the end, won the game. If Chicago went in and got blasted, which like has happened to them a number of times in Green Bay, then I think it would be fair to reassess them and say, okay, like maybe they have a little bit more to do. I thought that performance, especially going down, allowing the touchdown, the deep touchdown right before halftime to Melton, I was like, okay, they're going to get their doors blasted off and we're going to have to think differently about the Bears. I thought the way they came back in the second half with those long touchdown drives, and the way they ran the ball, they did not break off their identity at all. And I was really impressed with them. I'm still, it doesn't change the way I view them at all. And I think that they're on a really good course. Even if I still think it's very possible they could miss the playoffs this year. Ziggy and I were debating this on our show yesterday with the way the schedules work out and Detroit last week of the season, San Fran, the penultimate week, that all could come into play. But I think the Bears are in really, really good shape.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you said, Andy, was maybe the Chicago Bears aren't for sure better than the Minnesota Vikings. And I think all you have to do is consider what happened when Chicago went to Green Bay and what happened when Minnesota went to Green Bay. Chicago, as Paul said, they could have gotten blown out of this game. They held into it. They had a fourth down play that, as you just said, if it weren't for Keyshawn Nixon making a heads-up play, very few players in the NFL do. Chicago has a good chance of winning that game, or at least going to overtime, or however they want to play it. Minnesota, we had more interceptions than offensive yards in the second half. These were not remotely similar teams. So I still feel like the Chicago Bears are much better than us and that Minnesota has some real soul searching to do going into this offseason. But I guess you're right. At least like the Chicago Bears, maybe we'll be better than them next year. Who knows? We won't.
I think the Bears fans are looking at this like we definitely could have won that football game. You know, like that touchdown right before halftime is one that you have to be kicking yourself over. My guess is Chicago fans right now are thinking, you know, let's get this one in Green Bay and win the division. I think that the division is still on Bears fans' minds.
I think so, too, for sure.
And it should be, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the game in a couple of weeks, Chicago, Green Bay, and Chicago is going to be huge. Chicago's got Cleveland this week. Now, Green Bay lost to Cleveland, so it can't say anything. But,
yeah.
You know, they should win that game. And then you've got that massive rematch coming up in a couple of weeks right after that. But not only that for Chicago, but following Green Bay, if they lose to Green Bay, now all of a sudden they have San Fran and Detroit in their final two. And it's like, oh, God, like we need to get a win here. And neither of those games are like easy games. And if San Fran wins, you could be looking at a real situation where that week 18 game is Chicago versus Detroit, winner gets the 7 seed, potentially going to Green Bay, who would be the 2 seed in that scenario. That's a real possibility for what we're looking at right now.
I think it's likely. I think it's likely that that's what winds up happening here towards the end, which it's, I actually hope the Bears, I don't know. I don't really like the Bears, but we have so many friends who are Bears fans where it would kind of be fun to see them sneak in as the 7, like a Green Bay Chicago game in the first round. I mean, that would be, for me at least, I think that would be a lot of fun. I'm sure Packers fans, I'd pick Green Bay to win that game. And if you told Packers fans they could beat the Bears in the playoffs, I think they'd all enjoy that.
If somehow the Packers, again, not somehow, I guess, but if the Packers beat the Bears in Chicago in a couple weeks, and then they faced off in the 2-7 game and Green Bay beat them again, Chicago fans might not recover. It might just be they're already struggling with another loss to Green Bay this week. If they lose two more this year, including in the first round of the playoffs, it's going to get really bad for Chicago fans.
I have to imagine you'd feel more comfortable playing Chicago than Detroit though, right?
I would, but I'll just say this too. Here's the first thing. I'm not going to feel comfortable against anybody in the NFC. I just think it's going to be a really difficult game no matter what. And there's just always that feel of like, could you beat a team 3 times in a year? Mm-hmm. That's in like Ben Johnson's like a really good coach. Like he's going to have something at some point that would give me a lot of concern going into that game as well. But I guess if given the choice right now of who to play, Detroit or Chicago, I would take Chicago, but I wouldn't be like thrilled about it.
Yeah, it's funny thinking about that Bears-Packer game where obviously, you know, you want to win that. You want to host the playoff game, win the NFC North. But that opens the door for Detroit to come back in. And
yeah.
I'm sure that there are some Packer fans out there who would much rather play Chicago than Detroit because you know, you get Jahmyr Gibbs and maybe they get a little bit healthier. Like that's still a really scary team. I think everyone in the NFC would love for Detroit to be eliminated from postseason play. But it's, sure. Yeah, it's cool that all these teams play each other down the stretch.
I mean, in either way, if that happens, if Green Bay gets the two, it's probably because, again, they beat Chicago in Chicago. So you're either getting Detroit, who you've beat twice already and would have to try to beat them for a third time, or you're getting Chicago, who you've beat twice already and try to beat them for the third time. So yeah, in either way, it's a big time matchup with a ton of stakes. It'd be intense, that's to say the least. The other thing I was going to mention is, I don't know what you guys celebrate, if you celebrate Christmas or other holidays, but I got you guys an early present. So I just wanted to get this through to you guys.
Let's hear it.
I've got the pathway, the exact pathway to the Minnesota Vikings making the playoffs.
There's one.
There's 1% for you. Yeah, 1% right. Chance.
So here it is. Here's what you guys need to cheer for the rest of the way. It's not much. It's only like a parlay of 20 games that you need to go correctly. The Vikings need to go 4-0, no shock there. So wins over the Cowboys, Giants, Lions, and Packers in order to have a chance at this.
Easy.
The Falcons need to beat the Buccaneers this Thursday on Thursday Night Football. So that's your first one. Your first one you get to cheer for. You need a Falcons win.
Okay.
The Browns need to beat the Bears this Sunday. That's your next one. Panthers need to beat the Saints. That's good. All right, that's easy enough. Rams over the Lions. All right, that's workable. Again, you guys have to beat the Cowboys. Packers need to beat the Bears next week. So you're Packers fans next week. Then you guys beat the Giants. Steelers beat the Lions in week 16. So you're cheering for Aaron Rodgers in that game. Commanders over Cowboys in week 17. Again, Vikings over Lions in week 17. And 49ers over Bears in week 17. And then Panthers over Bucks. Panthers over Bucks in week 18, Vikings over Packers in week 18, and Lions over Bears in week 18. So there is your pathway to the Vikings getting into the playoff picture.
I have a different thing I'm cheering for, Andy. So ahead of the Minnesota Vikings right now in draft position are the Giants, Raiders, Titans, Browns, Saints, Commanders, Jets, Cardinals, Falcons, and Bengals. I'm cheering for every single one of those teams to win out. That's all I care about at this point. Because even if we make the playoffs, like if Minnesota gets the 7 seed and we're going to Green Bay, like, Paul, do you want to relive the game, the Vikings Packers game at Lambeau? Do you want to see that again?
If all that happens, yeah, there's magic on our side.
I was gonna say, Ziggy, if you hit a 14-game parlay to get in the playoffs and go on a 4-game win streak, and all of that happens, you are officially a team of destiny at that point. So.
No, Andy, you don't understand. When the Minnesota Vikings look like a team of destiny, this is when they let you down the most.
You're talking me into it, Andy. I came into the show and I had not even a trace of a thought of the Vikings going to the playoffs.
Present, an early present.
And now
Falcons
I'm like
over Buccaneers first. That's your first one you need.
Yeah, I see it now. Like there is a path. So I'll talk myself into it probably by the end of the episode. But yeah, Ziggy, I mean, if that happened, you're totally right, though. Ziggy's right. We'd go in and we just get trounced. It would be like this miracle happened and then we just get blasted in the first round.
I wish I could pull up what that ticket would pay out on like a $100 bet if those 14 things happened in consecutive order. It has to be like... A million, like I don't even know. It has to be.
They probably wouldn't take it.
I mean, you have like some of our friends had done 13, 14 leg parlays this year around like for a particular week, and that's betting a lot of the favorites too. Like in that case scenario you laid out, there's some big underdog games.
Yep,
I have to imagine because you were getting paid out like $15,000 on a $10 bet. So yeah. I have to imagine if you put down $100, you're not even on the books. They might be like this. Yeah, it's just a little too much for us right here. That would be
penny bet max or something. Yeah, I don't know.
It is very Viking-like though to essentially, barring a miracle, being eliminated from playoff contention to then come out and win 31-0 in a game where if you lose to the Commanders, you vault yourself into I think like the 8th pick in the draft. And we just, and now look, I can't complain too much. It's nice to win, and it's nice to see JJ have his best game of his career. So I think it would be, I feel like it would be a little hypocritical of me to come out here and after complaining so much about them not playing well when they do play well, to then go, well, the draft pick. So I was pretty pleased though with the Viking performance on Sunday. It was great to see JJ, even if it was against a bad defense, play well. And that's all you got. That's all you want to see for the next few weeks here is JJ string together these games and put yourself in a good position for 2026.
We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, because right now we have bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening right now, all at once. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like which gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's Prize Picks. And I love how simple Prize Picks is to use, and more importantly, how fun it is to play. This football season's been even more fun with Prize Picks, and getting my picks in for each slate of games has been a super fun part of my football experience. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Jaden Reed against Denver as Green Bay tries to retain its hold on the number one seed in the NFC North. I'm also going to make some picks on Christian McCaffrey, Jalen Warren, and Derrick Henry. Now it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. So we all know a chef, a griller, a cooking hobbyist, or a stay-at-home parent who just enjoys making really good food for their family. I have a couple in my family and have seen them light up when they get that perfect ingredient, a piece of cookware, or a new grilling accessory as a present. I know because I love cooking and recently received some Omaha steaks and I was beyond overjoyed. This holiday season, you can give the gift of USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, cozy and convenient comfort meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks. When I got my Omaha Steaks, I fired up the grill immediately and I couldn't wait to taste the grass-fed, grain-finished steaks that showed incredible marbling. It was the perfect gift and the flavor ended up being unbelievable. Now, Omaha Steaks delivers an exclusive lineup of USDA-certified tender steaks, and their fan-favorite filet mignons have achieved the distinction of USDA-certified very tender. And of course, they also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and delectable desserts. So right now, save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com using code PACKADAY. Well, let's start there. Walk me through JJ McCarthy in this game. Obviously, 31-0 win. Defense was dominant. Jaden Daniels couldn't do anything. How do you feel? Is there rekindled hope with JJ McCarthy, or how are we feeling after this game?
So, Andy, I've got a question for you before we start, actually, about this game. So Dan Quinn has taken over the offensive play calling for the Commanders, and as Kevin O'Connell has said, when you're head coach and you take over play calling, you start calling a lot of the same stuff. Commanders played a lot of zone defense this game, excluding garbage time, right? So neither team has more than a 98% chance to win. What percentage of the plays do you think the Commanders called were in zone coverage?
I bet 90%.
100%. Oh, man. Every single one. What percentage do you think were two high safeties?
Ooh. That I don't know. That I don't have as good of a guess on.
85%.
Interesting.
So JJ McCarthy was seeing very similar defensive looks almost every play. Now, I have to give him credit, right? Even when you're seeing that, it's still against an NFL defense. He's still delivered. But if you look at his throw chart, almost every single throw is between 5 or 10 yards towards the sideline, taking what the defense gave him. So it's good to see, as Kevin O'Connell said, like he said, he was going to ask JJ McCarthy, don't worry about the mechanics. Don't worry about the footwork. Don't worry about the decision making. Just like play natural. And JJ McCarthy took advantage of that. But this is a tough game, I think, to look at and say the hope's back for JJ McCarthy, because most NFL defenses are not going to give you the same easy look every single play.
No, I think that's totally fair. But at least, again, it would be a much worse scenario today if they did that and he went, you know, basically at Jaden Daniels' line of 9 for 20, 78 yards, no touchdowns and a pick.
Oh, yeah, look, up until this point, JJ McCarthy hasn't gotten it done against the easy defenses either.
Correct.
Andy, I don't know. I definitely haven't told you this yet. After Notre Dame missed the college football playoff, I was just like beside myself, kind of numb. I didn't even watch the first half of the game. Like I didn't see any football until probably 2:30, 2:45 Eastern here on Sunday. I got in the car and I just drove for like 30 minutes one direction, stopped. It's like, I have a job to do. I need to go back and do it. Looked at my phone, I was stunned because I saw like McCarthy 9 for 10 for, you know, whatever many yards, touchdowns, like great passer rating. We were up 14-0. I was like, oh, all right. Like, okay. All right. This is nice. Cause if I looked at the phone and saw, you know, JJ like 3 for 12 with 2 picks again, I probably would just like put the phone down and kept going. But came back and, you know, wound up rewatching the game and everything. But I like that did save Sunday. No, I'm sorry, that didn't save Sunday. It was a horrible day, but it made it a little bit easier. I was happy for JJ. It was nice. They stripped it down for him. They made it easy. And they beat a team that, you know, has had a bad defense all year. So I think overall it was. Did it scare you seeing JJ play like that?
No.
Can't even give us this one.
I mean, from a Packers standpoint, I mean, you kind of almost hope that like a 16 for 20, 363 yard, you know, maybe a couple touchdowns here or there, taking 4 sacks in a game. Like, give that, yeah, just keep that. You know, you don't need another quarterback in the offseason. You're fine with JJ McCarthy. Yeah. Max Brosmer can back up next year. Let's keep this train rolling. Let's extend Kwesi. And yeah, I think Minnesota's on the right track. I think that's the hope at this point.
Yeah, I think you did see in this one, too, a little bit of why Vikings fans have just been so upset with the, you know, the defense is flying around. And Van Ginkel, who's been hurt for a lot of the season, yep, had a great game. You just saw a lot of the elements, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, where you're like, oh, that's what this team could have been with good, just competent quarterback play. So it was a bit of a sting there, because you can't help but wonder in the back of your mind what this team could have been if it legitimately was not the worst quarterback play of the 21st century going on. So that did sting, but, you know, it's unfortunately that's just the scenario. Look, bringing in 45-year-old Philip Rivers, I'm glad we're not in that situation. I think the Colts actually have it a little worse off than we do right now with what's going on there. But there was definitely a bit of a, oh, like, come on, like now's when we're going to play well.
That's fair. It's totally fair. It is interesting that they're in that situation because Daniel Jones got hurt. Daniel Jones was in your building. You let Sam Darnold go. You're in that situation. You both spent high draft picks on quarterbacks that thus far have not worked out. Anthony Richardson for the Colts, obviously McCarthy for you guys, and you both went with a veteran that's best days are behind them. You guys went with Carson Wentz. They went with Phillip Rivers. So some parallels.
Isn't
there.
That crazy? Like, I can't believe, I thought it was a joke when someone sent me an image of Phillip Rivers as like, you know, Schefter. And I was looking, trying to see if it was, you know, you misspell Schefter by like a letter or something.
Oh yeah.
And when I saw that was legitimate, my first thought was Phillip Rivers might die on the field. Like, I just don't know how you're going to... Who do the Colts play next? Is it like...
It's a tough game this week.
It's Seattle. They play...
Yes. That's the worst case scenario. That's like the worst team you want to play.
Philip Rivers can't possibly be ready to play football for being out of the NFL for 5 years this week, right?
There was a report today that it's not out of the question that he starts this week. I think it was Diana Russini. I could be wrong on that. But there was the report today that it's not off the table that he could start this week.
It can't. This just can't be real. I don't.
I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in. To me, like the once Daniel Jones went down, the Colts season was dead, right? Like Riley Leonard wasn't going to do anything for you. It's just over with, right? So at least give me something entertaining to watch, you know? Because I think don't they have like isn't the Seattle game? It's not a premium. It's like it's a 3:25 p.m. game. I think so. Yeah. It's going to be on the same time as the Packers anyway. But either way, like give me some interesting Colts stuff the rest of the year, because otherwise, I just don't think there's any point in it. So I'm all in on this. I want to see what 44-year-old Phillip Rivers can do.
If Phillip Rivers plays well, there will be so many movies made about this, right? Phillip Rivers, he's leaving the 10 kids at home to go to the Colts for one last shot at glory after a sort of disappointing up and down career. Like the story writes itself. If he just takes the Colts to the playoffs, I guarantee you there's a Phillip Rivers movie in the next 5 years.
This feels like a South Park episode or an SNL skit. Like I just can't. He wasn't even playing well at the end of his career when he was, you know, 5 years younger. I can't believe that. You have to be real. I mean, the Vikings were pretty desperate at one point, but to go and call Rivers, I'm genuinely worried he's going to get really hurt. I can't imagine him playing.
this is not an easy, you know, stretch either. The Seahawks, obviously, their defense is incredible. They face the Texans, who's the arguably the best defense in all of football. The 49ers have a pretty good defense. And then I lost my thing here of who their other team they play. Oh, here it is. It is the
Houston
Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars not, have been playing actually pretty good defense, too. So those are all, I think, where the 49ers.
You get like two of the top three defenses.
Oh, yeah, and then you get to finish the season by playing against the Houston Texans. Yes. So, like, the defensive lines they have to face over the next 4 weeks are crazy.
Did you see what the Texans did to Josh Allen a couple weeks ago? Like,
yeah.
I wonder if they called Brady. You have to imagine that.
I don't think Brady could play
with
for
the ownership.
I don't think so. Stake. Yeah, you're right. Wow,
it's interesting. Also, if Brady was going to come back, he probably would have done it for the Raiders and then like gave up the ownership stake in the meantime or something. Like, I don't know, pulled the Jordan, played for the Wizards or whatever. But yeah, it's a remarkable thing, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I hope he does awesome. It'd be amazing.
Oh yeah, you have to root for him. It is a little scary. I feel like I'm watching Tyson go and, you know, box. Like, that's just a degree of, it's very entertaining, but there will be a piece of me that's like, oh, you please get up. Please get up.
And Philip Rivers will play through any injury. Like, he's played through a torn ACL before. It's like, this guy's already nuts.
I mean, yeah, when he was like in his 30s or 20s.
No, but like, even if he gets hurt, I don't know. I don't want to speculate about all the injuries Philip Rivers might suffer, but maybe the Colts know something we don't. They must know something we don't. Yeah, it didn't work with Wentz or Matt Ryan or Philip Rivers the first time. This time will be different.
Do you mind if I go back to Green Bay for a second? Because yeah, I felt, for sure, you know, like we hit Chicago and Minnesota, but there was some stuff on the Packers. I just do want to bring up that, like, it's happening again. Like, I can feel it happening again.
Which one? The third straight quarterback? Are we talking that? Or like they're making another run doing Toyota-thon
the run
again?
It's like the same way I felt it in 2023. Like, the Packers are coming together. Love's playing some of the best football of his career. There's like, you can feel it right now, and I hate it. I really hate that this is the exact way I felt in 2023. Like, every second or every fiber of my body right now is trying to not buy into what the Packers are turning into. But the more you watch them the past 4 weeks, like, they're very clearly to me a top five Super Bowl contender. And I know that they've had stretches where they've dipped down and right. And then when they hit their peak, it's like, wow, this team's great. They just can't sustain it. But right now it feels different than it did in week two, when it was like, all right, or week three, even, you know, between that stretch with the Browns and the Commanders. I just really don't like what's going on, because I think that we just have to accept, like, all right, they're going to be there this year.
I think Christian Watson's made such a difference, and getting Jaden Reed back is going to help a ton. I'm so bummed that Tucker Kraft and Devontae Wyatt are out for the season. Those are two such important players, especially Tucker Kraft. But they're starting to hit on all cylinders. There's like, teams are grasping a little bit now of like, all right, how do we want to go stop it? Like, some of the zone stuff that was working earlier, Green Bay has found solutions to. And again, Christian Watson's helped a ton with that. So teams have gone man-to-man coverage that hasn't worked. Like, there just hasn't been an answer for this offense. And it's not like it's, you know, fully functioning Death Star. It's not like they're putting up like 38 points a game or something, but they've been extremely efficient on offense. And defensively, they have these moments where they look really good. There's some moments too where you're just like, what the hell was that? Like, how could they not get off the field on a couple of those? But the thing that really I'm hopeful for, and maybe it's a fool's hope or a false hope, but this was a team last year that was really good at forcing turnovers. And they now have Micah Parsons on top of that team. And you would think, wow, like, imagine the turnovers that they're going to be able to force now. And it hasn't been that way. Mm-hmm. They obviously got a huge one at the end of this game with Keyshawn, but they have not been a great team at getting the other team to turn the ball over. And we always know turnovers come in bunches. And to me, if this offense gets a little bit of help in some field position, or even if you get a pick six or something like that and get some point production based on the defense getting turnovers, and the defense gets off the field quicker and gives the offense even more opportunities with how efficient they've been, that to me is like, now you're really set for a significant run. So they've got to create those turnovers. It's not as easy as, you know, just saying it to come to fruition. But if they start doing that again, like they did last year, man, look the hell out. This is going to be a very difficult team to beat.
Yeah, they're still, I'm just looking at total turnovers forced. Like, was it 30, 29, 28, 27, 20, they're 25th in total turnovers forced this year. Like, their differential is up there with the league leaders at plus four, because they, you know, Jordan just doesn't turn the ball over at all, which is massive. But I think you're totally right, Andy. If they start winning in that department more, it's like, I mean, that's what makes this team the Super Bowl version.
No, I totally agree.
I do have a question for you, Andy. After what we saw from Kingsley and Igbari this week, is there any thought? Like, I am very much not on team. He should be starting over Rashawn Gary, but I've seen a lot of Packers fans in our mentions coming in with that. What's your read on that situation? Is he going to get more time, at least on pass rush snaps? Does this change things at all after the week he had? Because he showed up. I know we're talking a lot about that interception, but that was only possible because of an enormous third down stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think where you're at right now with it, I think they have the right rotation overall. Micah plays the vast majority of the games. There's probably 10 to 12 snaps that he doesn't. So you have those 10 to 12 left over. And then it's not quite like a, you know, it ends up being almost like a 50-50 split between Enigbare and Rashawn Gary, but they get those extra kind of 12 snaps from Micah as well. So to me, it works out very well with where things are at. I think Rashawn's been the better run defender by far, although Enigbare had that huge stop on third down that set up that fourth and one this past week. But Enigbare's playing some of the best football of his career. Rashawn Gary's been rather pedestrian when you consider how much he's making and your expectations for him specifically Micah Parsons taking all the attention on the other side. I think there's this idea of like, hey, Rashawn Gary's been your number one rusher. Now he gets to be your number two and gets a lot more one-on-ones. Imagine what he's going to be able to do. And if you look at his numbers for like pressures under 3 seconds, so quick pressures with how many rushes he's had, he's arguably the worst in the league based on the volume that he's had at getting quick pressures. So I think playing Rashawn on some early downs and setting him up, you know, to be successful as a really good run defender, which he's really evolved his game for, and maybe playing Enigbare a little bit more on some of the obvious passing downs is a good way to do it. But listen, they're going to need Rashawn Gary to play at a little bit of a higher level if this defense wants to reach its peak. And unfortunately, we haven't really seen that so far, but maybe it's just around the corner. It would certainly be nice if we saw that.
I was just looking to, you mentioned Christian Watson playing, and it feels like another aspect of the Packers that has just improved is they're starting to hit on some of these deep balls. And, you know, Watson's the past 2 weeks, they've hit on what, two or three of them now, right?
Melton too.
Yeah, Melton as well. And I think that's where Watson helps so much. And now you get Reed back, and it feels like the offense is finally coming. It's a shame that Tucker Kraft is out, because with him as well looped into that, it's legitimately does feel like a pick your poison. So it's a shame he's not there. But, you know, once Reed gets his feet under him, I think he's the second best receiver on the team. I don't really think it's, I die like Dobbs, but I've always been a big Jaden Reed guy.
We're in the same boat. Jaden Reed to me is easily the second best guy.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. It seems like Jordan Love is starting to get this week more media attention. You know, I saw Colin, my boss, Colin Coward, puts out this reel about how he's all in on Jordan Love and he's underrated. And I'm looking here, you know, ESPN puts out Pat McAfee is interviewing Love right now. Like, there's almost like this little surge in Jordan Love. I guess it's Toyotathon, so it makes sense. But it seems like people who cover the Packers a little closely always, and I'll put it aside from fans who, you know, I guess fans are extremely emotional, clearly, like myself. But I feel like everyone here has always been very high on Jordan, no?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
like, there was obviously the questions when he first came into the league and was behind Aaron of, you know, like, where is this going to end up? He was a super talented quarterback coming out of college. But yeah, I will just say this. I was at some of his first, you know, I think it was even year two, because I think year one was the COVID year where he didn't get training camp, OTA mini camp, right? And then I think it was year two where he was at camp, and like, he couldn't do anything basically besides check the ball down. Like, that was, he's just remarkably not ready yet. And then now it's just so night and day. Like, he doesn't even normally take the check downs if they're there a lot of times. But so there was obviously a question at the very beginning, and then you saw that first start against KC and you're like, whew, there's a lot of seasoning that needs to still go into this. But I mean, really that game against Philly where he got in, and then once he kind of started in 2023, there hasn't been much question. And again, the sky is still the limit for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's just so fun to watch. Like, he's a player who takes a lot of risks, and every now and then you watch him and he just makes these so casual, right? He's so casual behind the or in the pocket, where he just lobs it up. And as you know, as a Viking fan, I'm thinking like, all right, that's picked off. And then he just puts in the perfect spot, even on the touchdown pass to Watson, right? Like, he just kind of floated that thing up, the first touchdown pass, and just perfectly placed. Watson waltzes into the end zone. And I like Jordan Love. He's done a ton for our channel. Like, he basically made our channel. And I just think right now, I don't know if I'd put him where I put him, like top 10 quarterbacks in the league wise. He's absolutely in that top 10 to me. But it seems like, if the Packers are going to go on a serious run here, he might start getting the attention of one of those elite guys. When throughout the beginning of his career, it seems like we wavered between him being the fifth best quarterback in the league and, like, you know, someone that Packers fans call for Malik Willis to replace him.
Well, the thing about Jordan Love that's so good, and I think why Packers fans and people who watch these games really closely get a lot out of him, is because, and why the advanced stats love him, is because Jordan Love is so important on critical downs. Right. The reason why he's always at the top of EPA charts, even though he's not always the top of yardage charts, is because Jordan Love delivers huge time value on third and fourth down. Like, the leader in EPA per play in the NFL going into last week was Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold has been very good for the Seahawks. But when you look at third and fourth down, Jordan Love's EPA per play is double what Darnold does. Like, he's able to consistently deliver in big moments. Every time the Packers have needed a game-winning drive, he delivers. And I think that's why, you know, in 2023, Jordan Love was new to the league. His season ended on a really brutal interception against the 49ers. If you're looking forward to, are people going to change their mind? Is this year going to be different? 2025, Jordan Love is not going to throw a game-losing interception on his last drive in the playoffs. I'm calling it right now. Like, that's just not who he is anymore.
Holding you to that, Ziggy, because I hope that, in fact, is the case. I mean, I think that's the last thing he has to prove, right? Is, can he do it in the playoffs? Can he make a run towards the Super Bowl? It's really this version of the Packers team. It's the question that'll hang over Matt LaFleur. It's the question that'll hang over Jordan Love. Until they go out and win it, there's always going to be that question, just like sort of it is with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott in Buffalo and in a lot of other places too. That's going to be the next step for them. But I mean, right now he's PFF's second highest graded quarterback in the league. Every advanced metric basically has him in the top three. If not that, it's top five. And, you know, from a even Vegas standpoint, he's currently third in MVP odds. And I think the fourth one, Josh Allen, is pretty significantly, at least like plus 500 behind him. I don't know. Again, we could have the conversation all day of, would you rather take this quarterback or Love, and where he ends up in that conversation is fun for debate and conjecture, whatever. Wherever you want to put him, whether it's number seven, number three, number 10, whatever, he's playing unbelievable football. And I'm just, me personally, very happy that he's the Packers quarterback.
I think that the Toyotathon bit also distracts a little from him playing his best football when it matters. Like, that's really what we're talking about here. Toyotathon is just another way of saying, all right, when it's like, you know, when it's November, December football and these games take on more importance, there's more pressure, it's colder, right? Like no one likes to get hit in the cold. No one likes to play when it's 9 degrees, like this Packers Bears game. He plays great. And I think I actually do find that a little, it would bother me a little bit if I were a Packer fan, that the Toyotathon thing is so prevalent, when it's like, no, he just, by the time you need him to be at his best, he is. And I think that's a kind of undervalued piece of Love that you're seeing a little bit right now. People are starting to be like, oh yeah, like, all right, like, yeah, maybe we need to give him more flowers than we've given him in the past.
For sure. He deserves it. He earns it. And again, yeah, you just look at his numbers. I mean, completion percentage is what, above 67%? I mean, we talk all the time of, like, all, you know, completion percentage and accuracy is just not something you can learn in the NFL. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Josh Allen is one of the rare examples of it getting better. Jordan Love might be another huge example of, like, yeah, he continues to get more and more accurate at the ball. His confidence is through the roof. He's making more checks at the line of scrimmage. He's got 4 interceptions on the season. What Jalen Hurts basically had yesterday. Like, I mean, it's just, it's remarkable what he's been able to do from a complete efficiency standpoint. And yeah, they're not asking him to throw, you know, 30, 40 times per game. It's a pretty balanced offensive attack, but he doesn't have a Justin Jefferson, a Ja'Marr Chase. And I know Watson's playing really good since coming back, but I just think overall what they're asking him to do, he's performing it at a super high level. And there's not many quarterbacks right now I would take over him.
Would you rather go into, I'm just like completely all over the place right now, but would you rather go into LA for the NFC Championship game and play the Rams, or go to Seattle?
the Rams simply because, and here's the thing, I think the Rams are the best team in football. I would, you know, kind of put my stake on that. I have kind of for a little while now, but Seattle's a brutal place to play in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can stomach another NFC championship game in Seattle. That's going to be tough in and of itself. But the other thing is that Seattle would be a true road game. The Rams would be a home game, or at minimum, that thing's going to be split.
Yeah.
And that it, you know, the Rams are going to be going silent count on offense if that game is there. So that would give me a little bit of an like a boost of confidence too. And Matt LaFleur 5-0 versus Sean McVay too. So
I saw you tweeted that.
I'm not thrilled about it. If they have to go to LA and play the Rams, don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. That's a brutal game, and I think the Rams would still be favored, but it wouldn't scare me either. I would feel like Green Bay could go in and get that win.
No, I think that's a fun wrinkle in the NFC playoff picture for you guys to look at least. Is I'm expecting the Rams to win that division. I know they still go to Seattle, so like it's not, and you guys could still be the one seed too. That's absolutely in play. Yeah. But if you wind up being the two, which I feel pretty confident right now that you're going to win the division, I think you're going to beat Chicago in Chicago. Of course, you know, if they win that game, everything changes. But if you do win the two seed, then like if the Rams are the one, I think that at least, at the very least, it's like you get to the NFC championship game and you're kind of feeling comfortable going. And usually you go on the road. If you guys go to, you know, San Fran, you go to Seattle, you go to Philly. Like, I mean, those are places that are just brutal. Like, you know, the Eagle, going to Philly feels like it's just, you're not going to win that game. It's, if you got the Rams there, a dome, you're inside two. You guys play well indoors. Like, I just think that's a nice spot for the Packers to be in if it winds up being the case.
But if you do go to LA, you also have to play Matthew Stafford, right? Like, it's fair.
There's a trade-off.
Maybe LA is an easier place to play. But honestly, if I could choose between facing Jalen Hurts or facing Matthew Stafford in the playoffs, or Sam Darnold or Matthew Stafford, look, it's beating the Rams is going to be tough this year. There's
Would you take Seattle, Ziggy?
I'd rather play at Seattle than at LA. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. No, that's the question. That's why I find it kind of interesting.
We'll be right back. Hey, friends, we've all gone through difficult times, whether it be with addiction, heartbreak, financial troubles, or hundreds of other challenging situations that get presented to us on a day-to-day basis. I know I certainly have, and if you have, just know you're not alone. And the thing is, taking care of your mental health shouldn't be harder than taking care of your physical health. If you pull a muscle, you go see a doctor. But when it comes to finding the right therapist, suddenly it's frustrating. You've got long wait lists or you're staring down huge out-of-pocket costs. That's what usually stops people from getting help. That's where Rula comes in. Rula makes therapy simple, affordable, and fast. They work with most major insurance plans, and the average session copay is just $15. Just 15 bucks. Every therapist on the platform is licensed, vetted, and picked for their expertise, so you know you're going to talk to somebody legit, not just whoever happens to be available. And getting started could not be easier. You answer a few quick questions about what matters to you, and Rula connects you with in-network providers who actually fit your needs. You pick the time, and you could be talking to a therapist as soon as the next day. I can't stress enough how much therapy has been a blessing in my life, and it can be in yours as well. And Rula gives you that opportunity without having to break the bank. Now, thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they've needed, so don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Packaday and get started today. That's RULA.com/Packaday. Take the first step, get connected, and take control of your mental health. Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work, or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients.
Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all of my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday.
All right, do you guys want to look ahead to this week, week 15?
Let's do it.
We'll run through the NFC North games. All right, I want to do it in the correct order here. So let me pull this up. We'll just start with the Packers. We're on them anyway. So the Packers go to Denver. It's a 425 game. Two really good football teams. The Denver defense has been great all year. They've kind of been squeaking by a bunch of games. So how much faith do you have in Bo Nix? I mean, we'll find out. Andy, how are you feeling about that one?
This is great for podcasting. I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. I'm very torn in this one. I'm going through and starting to watch some of the Denver stuff, and they're really good. And then you sort of like start piecing it together. It's like, well, you know, yeah, Sertan is really good. Nick Benito is really good. They've got some real ballers on their offensive line. Quinn Miners, former UW-Whitewater guy, is fantastic. But you look at it as a whole and you're like, there's not a ton that you're like losing sleep over from like a player standpoint. But my goodness, both on offense and defense, they play really good team offense, really good team defense, and they don't hurt themselves. Like they play really sound football. I'm going to say, I think I'm more leaning towards the Broncos in this one. And then I think Green Bay reels off their last three as they get ready for the playoffs. I think they beat Chicago, beat Baltimore, and then beat Minnesota in that final game. To help you guys get that better draft pick. You know, we're just trying to help. I think that's where I'm leaning towards right now. But this one's a really fun game, and Green Bay certainly can go in there and get the win.
There is only one team currently projected to be in the playoffs that has fewer takeaways per game on defense than the Green Bay Packers, and that is the Denver Broncos. And this is why I think in their last four games, they've got really close victories over the Raiders twice, the reeling Chiefs, and an overtime win against the Commanders. Look, the Minnesota Vikings just beat the Commanders 31-0, and the Broncos have to go to overtime to put them away. I agree it will be a tough game. Going on the road to Denver is totally different than playing them at home. But I think Jordan Love is a lot better than Bo Nix, and that's going to be the difference this game. Packers win by a score and a half.
Wow, score and a half. Okay.
I'll say Broncos by one. I think it's going to be low scoring. I'll say 23-21 Broncos.
Yeah, Ziggy, you brought up a good point. Like, you watch Denver, and a lot of times when you watch them, they've won, 10 games in a row here? I think 10 games in a row.
Yep.
But you watch them play, and half the time you're watching the game, you're like, this team really doesn't seem that good. And then they find a little magic at the end, kind of like, you know, Kansas City last season's 11-0 in the regular season. I think that Chiefs team is better than, you know, this version of the Broncos. If things go right for Kansas City, like, who knows where they'd be this year with their record in one score games. But the Broncos are just having one of those years where, yeah, they do get the batted pass against Washington. They do have the comebacks against Philly. And against the Jets, right, in London. Their defense is fantastic. Like, that is something that we know for sure. And at home, they do have a big advantage. I'm going to go with Green Bay, though. I think that you guys are going to get after Bo, who he only has 9 interceptions. He's only been sacked 16 times, kind of to your point, Andy, that he's done a great job of not hurting Denver. But I just think you guys are the better football team. And I think you're hot right now as well. And even though the Broncos are winning, I think you're right, Ziggy. It hasn't really been impressive. Now, in Denver is always going to be difficult, but I'm going to go with the Packers in this one. It's a huge game.
My mind. I'm going 17-15 Packers. I'm changing it. 17-15 Packers. You talked me into it.
It's a huge game for you guys too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you win this one, you win Chicago, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, we feel great about winning the division, the one seed's on. Like, if you lose this one, I don't want to kiss the one seed goodbye for you, but I think it's going to be pretty hard.
Oh, for sure. It's all but gone if they lose. Like, they probably need to win out if they want the one seed.
Yeah, and that's actually a dangerous spot that Green Bay's in right now. I think they'll be fine for it, but they just had this huge emotional win, and it's like, all right, we got the North back, And now the schedule really ramps up over the next 4 weeks, or well, before the Viking game, the next 3 weeks, it seems like it really ramps up.
Yeah.
So this would be a big spot to come out and not have a lackluster performance. The Bears go to Cleveland and they take on the Browns, who have given some teams, I'm sorry, the Browns go to Chicago to take on the Bears, yeah, in a 1 o'clock game.
Give me Chicago. I think the Browns might be able to keep this a little bit closer with Shadur, but I actually think this one's going to be closer. I'm going to say 24-20 Bears.
The Browns can win a game in one situation, and that's when Myles Garrett gets double-digit sacks in a single game, which it seems like he's done half the time this year. Obviously, it's not that many. But like when Myles Garrett has those 3 or 4 sack games, that's when the Browns are in it. Caleb Williams avoids sacks. This is now what he does. This is who he is. The Bears are favored by 7.5. I think they cover. They beat the Browns by more than 2 scores in a blowout.
Isn't it frustrating, Andy, trying to chase around Caleb Williams? Like, they asked Mike about it.
It's absurd. It's a crazy superpower. For all the arm talent that he has, his legs are absolutely crazy for what he can do to escape out of the pocket. You think you have him, he is Nightcrawler, where you think and all of a sudden, poof, and he's in a different spot. It's absolutely remarkable.
I remember him doing it against Notre Dame when he was, I think it's the year he won the Heisman Trophy, and they pounded us in California. And I remember we had free rushers similar, right? A couple of Packers guys had free rushes at him, and you can't bring him down. It's crazy. So yeah, I'm with you guys. I think Chicago wins this one. If they lose this one, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, playoffs are really, really in jeopardy. Another great 425 game. The Lions go to the Rams, this time in LA, right? That we've seen this game a few times, but it's been in Detroit most of the time. So Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff playing again. Who you guys got?
Ziggy, you go first.
I think the Lions are a very good team. I like Jared Goff. I like what their offense does. But Matthew Stafford and the Rams just seem unbeatable. You need fluke interceptions from him like the Panthers had. It seems to have a chance of beating this team. And when you set that aside, they've steamrolled a schedule that wasn't particularly easy. I think the Rams win this one handily, and the Lions are on the back foot chasing the North again. Rams by 7.
Say Rams 31-27 in this one. And I think it's going to take a huge game for Aiden Hutchinson for Detroit to win it. I don't think he can. I think the Rams pick up the win.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the exact same score as you, Andy. I think that's a brilliant observation.
thank you.
It's one that if the Lions win, I'll probably pick them to get into the playoffs. And they're honestly kind of back in the division race if they win this game, and they'll be scoreboard watching as well what's going on with Green Bay and Denver. I expect right now the Lions just don't feel the same way. I know Lions fans were pumped up after beating the Cowboys, but there's something a little off. I don't know what exactly. Well, it's the interior of the line. I'm not a big believer in and the injuries in the secondary again, but I'm going to go with the Rams. Do you guys think they've turned into that team where most seasons there's like that one team that starts to kind of separate itself? And, you know, last year it felt like the Eagles or the Eagles and Detroit, right? And this year we've been sort of searching for it. The AFC is still a disaster. I don't think anyone has any idea what's going on over there. But are the Rams that team? Like, is it their year?
I think they're the favorites, clearly. But my hope is that the Packers have a say in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Green Bay can hang with them, but there's no question the Rams are separating themselves as their own tier of contender.
Yeah,
they just need it. So we've seen Stafford with the back issue already, and thankfully it hasn't flared up this year. Devontae is getting older. Puka's had injury issues. To me, the big thing for them will just can they stay healthy? Alaric Jackson had that. What was it, like a blood clotting issue before the season? And he's been unbelievable for them at tackle. They just have to stay healthy, and if they stay healthy, I like where they're at, and that would be the only thing that would give me concern is if all of a sudden they lose one of those key players.
And yeah, Stafford in the playoffs too. He's just like, I fear him as much as any quarterback that's going to get into the playoffs. He's just a dynamic performer when it matters. All right, and last but not least, the Vikings go to Dallas for just a thrilling Sunday night football matchup with the Dallas Cowboys.
How is this not flex? By the way, there are multiple
it is amazing.
there are multiple really good options, including, by the way, Denver and Green Bay, which I don't think is the prime game. Well, maybe it is.
I think it's the Lions. I think it's the Lions Rams.
Rams, all right. So it's not the premium 325. So I don't think that maybe they could still protect it, but you would think they'd put one of those games. Even if CBS had the right to protect a game, then shouldn't Bills Patriots be Sunday Night Football? I get that they don't like taking Dallas off of primetime because it's Dallas, but my goodness, there are at least they didn't know that Daniel Jones was going to be hurt. Colts Seahawks at the time would have made a whole hell of a lot more sense. Lions Rams, Packers Broncos, Bills Patriots. Even Chargers Chiefs, which is basically an elimination game for sure for the Chiefs at this point. No offense, but I don't know how this game didn't get flexed out.
I mean, Andy, you know, people want to see us. People want to see JJ.
They do, but not in the way that you want them to want to see JJ. It's a train wreck waiting to happen, and you can't take your eyes off of it, sort of way.
Yeah, it is unbelievable actually that game is still there. It has to be because I think you can flex now. You have to be
able to need 6 days to flex at this point in the season.
That's crazy. It's just Dallas. I understand it's just Dallas. They don't want to take them out of prime time, but man, it's just a lot of really good options out there. So, I'm taking Dallas though. 31-20. Actually, that's a lot against Minnesota's defense. We'll do a little bit less. 24-13 Dallas.
The Cowboys, it looked like they were probably out of it after their loss last week, but with the Eagles losing again last night, when we were recording this a couple days ago, they still have a chance to win the division. The Eagles have an easy schedule coming up, but Dallas is still playing for something. The Minnesota Vikings are not. I know you laid out the whole situation, Andy. We're not playing for anything. The Vikings go back to their listless ways. The Cowboys win. I say 28-3.
28-3.
JJ McCarthy reveals who he is. The Cowboys' interior defensive line just gets after him. We can't run the ball. We can't pass the ball. I'm not expecting anything good out of Minnesota this game.
You're forgetting, Ziggy, that it doesn't matter to us, so we'll be good. You keep forgetting that, you know, now that the tankathon is on.
No, but we can't win two in a row because then the vibes start getting good, and we can't have that either.
No, why not? The vibes will be awesome. Like, the vibes can be great now because it just doesn't matter. I got 34-0 Vikings. They topped the 31-0 with a shutout in Dallas. No, I think it'll probably be like 24 or maybe 27, like 17 Dallas, if I, you know, gun to my head, but I love to beat the Cowboys. We're going to end up with the 12th pick in the draft, no matter what, 11 or 12. So once you settle in on that, it's nice to beat Dallas too. You know, no one likes the Cowboys. So wait, today would have been Tuesday when we're recording, would have been the last day to flex it. Probably.
It's not getting flexed anymore.
Yeah. They confirmed the game's not getting flexed.
No, I know. But like you said, 6 days, Ziggy.
Yeah, they could have flexed it on Monday. Once you hit today, I think they can't flex it. It needs to be more than 6 days.
It's the Cowboys, I guess. You get Dallas there. They're not going to move them. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Guys, thanks for jumping on the record. That was fun going over, you know, just another great Packers week. And at least the Vikings showed up on Sunday, so that's nice.
It's a rare 2-0 episode. We haven't had many 2-0 episodes between the Packers and Vikings winning on the same week before. So we got one this week.
Last year, we would have had quite a few. I mean, last year was just ridiculous.
Big time.
But yeah, it feels like we've returned to order in the NFC North. Although Chicago's still hanging around, so it should be a really fun end of the season. We'll be back next week reacting to the NFC North games. Again, just some monster matchups with Packers, Broncos, and Lions, Rams. So go ahead, Andy, send us out with your victory speech.
I got nothing super fun or sexy this week. Just enjoy the slate of games, and it's going to be really fun seeing what this you know, four games in the NFC North kind of amount to this coming week with, outside of Minnesota, a lot of possibilities for some changes depending on what goes on. So enjoy the games, everyone. We'll see you back here next week with the Paul Farrington Show and the Packaday Podcast united in a sort of Voltron sort of way that's better than anything else in the world.